It's a True Faith podcast. I'm Paul Lyon. I'm sat in a bar dedicated to the legends that have wore the Newcastle United number 9 shirt, and I'm joined by one of those, Les Ferdinand. Hello, Les.
Afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. 22 years ago today, you scored 2 goals at White Hart Lane. Fortunately for us, it was for Newcastle United. Do you realise that?
I didn't realise it was... I knew it was 22 years ago, but I didn't realise it was to the date. I was just saying it was. I knew it was 22 years ago since I last played for Newcastle. So but I didn't realise I scored the 2 goals for Newcastle against Spurs. So that's a nice little reminder, and I remember the 2 goals as well. The first one was a real scruffy finish, and the second one was a good ball in and a good strike.
Excellent. Well, that's 2 reasons why we love you up here. running theme, 22-year-old, you moved over to Besiktas, over in Turkey. Obviously, a side in a country with a reputation of some genuinely crazy fans. In a language that's quite far removed from English, in a rivalry with Galatasaray that could be pretty naughty at times. In what ways did the experience sort of benefit you?
I think that the experience benefited me not just as a football player. Gordon Mill, the ex Leicester and Coventry manager, was ex Liverpool player, was my manager, and I was a young, struggling centre forward at the time, and couldn't get into the first team. Needed, to come out of non-league football and needed some experience. And most players go sort of like to Leighton Orient or somewhere in Rotherham or somewhere in the UK for a loan experience. I decided this opportunity had come up to go to Turkey. The only thing I'd seen about Turkey at the time was a Midnight Express, so it wasn't the greatest advert for Turkish for Turkey. And I went out there. But what I did was I immersed myself in the culture of the Turkish people. Mm-hmm. I didn't go there thinking, this ain't like London, this is not like England. I just went there thinking, I'm here to try and play football and get myself a career. And this is kind of like the first step on the road to doing that. So it was an interesting time, an interesting place. Yeah. And it wasn't just about, in the end, it wasn't just about football. It was the first time I was away from home on my own. So it was a life experience for me. I grew up I went as a boy and I came back as a man, to be honest.
Yeah, excellent. And they wear some pretty good shirts as well, don't they, at that time?
Yeah. Most of my successful time, QPR supporters would argue with this, but most of my successful times have been in a black and white shirt, to be honest.
Nice. You played under some pretty good managers, Don Howe, Jim Smith, Jerry Francis, Trevor Francis, obviously Keegan, Dalglish, Hoddle, Venables. Who would you say would be the best tactician, best man manager, and the most underrated out of the group that managed you?
So you missed out a couple there. George Graham was fantastic. Tactically aware. George was fantastically tactically aware. Terry Venables, although I probably got on with Terry Venables the second least. Don Howe I got on with the least. He was a very good coach. Don Howe was a very good coach. Terry Venables tactically was probably the best. Just in the way that he. The way he put his sessions across, and the way he got you to understand his sessions, there was no stone left unturned, and so everybody to a man knew exactly what they needed to do when they went out on the pitch. So, in terms of being able to put his point across, he was probably the best at that. For me, Kevin Keegan was probably the best man manager I'd had. Certainly knew how to man manage me, and was probably the best at that. And what was the third question?
Most underrated.
Most underrated. That's a good question. I played under some very, very good managers, so Jerry Francis again was someone who got the best out of me, and if you looked at Jerry's team at QPR, again everybody knew probably Jerry was probably the most underrated out of all of them. Yeah,
yeah, it was a good side there.
Yeah,
QPR, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know where we was and finishing top London club when we did was like, you know, for the resources that QPR had at the time. He did an incredible job.
Yeah, the stadium pretty much looks the same.
Yeah, it certainly is.
What was the first impressions of Keegan when he tried to persuade you?
I was in awe, because here's a man that I'd, you know, seen over in my lifetime as, you know, this footballing icon. He weren't just a manager for me, he weren't just a player, he was an icon. He was probably the first British icon in terms of football going across to Germany and you know, European Player of the Year and stuff like that. So he weren't just a, and I always remember watching him on what was that game show? I was going to say it's a knockout, but it wasn't. It was
Superstars.
That's the one. Watching him on Superstars and thinking, well, he is a superstar.
Yeah.
And so sitting in front of him, and then I think that he had a unique ability to make you feel like you'd done him the biggest favour in the world. When I said to him, yeah, I was signing for Newcastle, you know, he just made me feel like I'd just done him the biggest favour in the world. You know, I mean, it weren't about me coming to Newcastle and how tremendous that was. It was I'd just done him a great big favour. So yeah, he was probably the best man.
Excellent. What was it like? What was the memories of the Man U 5-0 game? What was the sort of your feelings coming off that pitch?
I mean, obviously we'd lost the game and I'd missed a few chances in the year before. You know, there was myself and Schmeichel had a running battle, and you know, it done well in that game. And so, you know, we'd been humiliated in the Charity Shield. We'd lost that game 1-0, and we'd lost at Old Trafford that year as well. And so, coming back here, I always remember Keegan's team talk was, you owe those supporters out there. That's all he said. He said, you owe those supporters out there. And to a man, we all knew that we did. We owed them something. And so we went out, and on the day, everything just clicked into place. And you know, you have perfect afternoons, and that was a perfect afternoon. You know, Philip Albert's chip was just the icing on the cake. You know, so people say the icing on the cake. In fact, that was the candles, the icing and the candle. You know. But yeah, that was, you know, one of the fondest memories.
Right. Oh, excellent. One of my fondest memories, without doubt, was it was right next to my birthday that game. Couldn't get any better, you know. What a weekend. At any point towards the end of the 95-96 season, did you ever think sort of Keegan ever stopped believing in himself, or like did the players?
No, I think we. When you get on that slippery slope of losing games, and that's where we got to. I still think, even though we'd lost to Man United, that game here, I think the real turning point for us was the Liverpool game. I was actually at a talk last night, and someone asked me the question, you know, what's the greatest game you played in? And someone said it must be the 4-3, and I went, nah, because we lost that fight, the 5-0 against Man United, because there's not many teams that have managed to beat Man United, and we should have beaten them 5-0 when the time they beat us 1-0 here. So I said that game was probably the standout game for me. But the Liverpool game, you know, I mean, after it, I don't think I've ever sat in a changing room and felt the way I felt after that game, because you know, you knew you'd been involved in a rip roaring game. And I think every year You have momentous periods, and you come up and there's a game that just kicks you on or drops you down. And I think that was the game that, if we'd have won that, I think we would have gone on and won the title.
Yeah,
I really do.
It's a good argument for that, like, without doubt. Coming off on the right side of that sort of result.
Yeah, it would have given everybody the boost, because you know it gave Liverpool the boost. Mm. You know, it would have given us that boost to go on, because I think we went the next game and lost to Blackburn, and I think that was the depression of that, you know, losing against Liverpool in that game.
Let's not dwell on those
ones.
So speaking about Kevin Keegan, that is, him leaving, did you have any sort of inkling that was on the horizon?
You know, in hindsight, when we look back on it, and I remember we, again, we'd lost to Blackburn at on Boxing Day at Blackburn, and always remember after the game, Keegan sort of like had a go at the players, at a few of us, and said, like, you know, there was a few harsh words said in the dressing room. And then the next game was at home to Tottenham on the 28th. And his team talk was, I could drop every single one of you for your performance against Blackburn. But he said, I don't think you can play that badly again. So what I'm going to do, I'm not going to change the side, I'm going to let each and every one of you, I'm going to allow each and every one of you to redeem yourself. And we did, we went out and beat Tottenham 7-1, I think it was, 7-2, whatever it was. But, always remember after the game, and it now sort of like ranks with you, and you think to yourself, were there signs, he didn't come out and do a team talk. He didn't come out and do the press talk. It was Terry Venables that... It was Terry McDermott that went out and did the team talk after the game.
Yeah.
And when you look back on it now, you think was that the first sign that, you know, he'd had enough?
Hmm.
And when I say had enough might not be the right word, because I think it was a little bit more than just him having enough. It was the way that not the takeover, but we were floating, and the way all that was put to him, that sort of upset him. Those were his reasonings that he gave us for departing.
Right, interesting. Dalglish, he obviously replaced Kevin. Given how the side finished 96-97 season, why do you think he set about like dismantling that squad? What, in your opinion? I mean, obviously that included the sale of yourself.
I think in this country, I think British managers have this. When they go into a football club, if that football club's doing okay, they don't normally go in when it's doing okay. Mm-hmm. They normally go in when there's a problem. But normally, when a manager goes into a football club, he tries to put his own stamp on that football club, and needs to make a few changes to people. So people say, right, this is Kenny Dalglish's team. This is Kevin Keegan's team. This is George Graham's team. This is, you know, so they make some changes.
Mm-hmm.
Mourinho was probably the only one of the few managers that came in. When he went into Chelsea, I think he made two changes. He added two players. I think Petr Cech was already coming, and he added one more, which was Ferreira, the right back.
Yeah.
And they went on and won the league because he knew he had a good team there. And all he said was, it ain't Ranieri's team, because Ranieri's team weren't able to win the league. This is my team because I've made it win the league, and I think that's the difference. I think, you know, we have a culture in this country that we have to dismantle and change to give it our own identity.
Yeah, I mean, some of the players that we've signed and stuff like that, I mean, if you're still here now, you might be knocking on your door to play up front, you never know. But just a final one, and a bit of an obvious one. What's your favourite ever Newcastle United goal?
My favourite ever, do you know what? When I've been asked that question in the past, I said it's probably my first goal, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my mind always goes back to it, and that's why I think it was that one. You know, I scored a nice goal against Everton. I always remember going on the coach to that game and Keegan saying, you know, why don't you pick the ball up and run with it anymore? He said, when I used to watch you at QPR, you'd pick the ball up on the halfway line, you'd run through and score a goal. And he said, and you don't do that anymore. And I always remember saying to him, it's because when the ball comes into me, I feel like I've got so many options that if I run with it and lose it, I feel like, you know, people are going to be going, well, why didn't you give it? Because you had so many options. I said, well, perhaps I didn't have those options at QPR, that's why I ran with it. And he went, I hear that, but what I want you to do is I want you to bring that back into your game. You run with the ball. And I said, okay. And he said, and I always remember him saying, maybe not today, because we never win it.
Yeah.
He said, Newcastle have the history of not winning at Goodison Park. And I went to him, don't worry, we'll win today. I said, I don't lose here at Goodison Park. And so I remember sort of like scoring that goal, picking it up on just that, over the halfway line and running and scoring that goal. And I looked over to him, I was laughing because I looked over to him and I was like, that was your late. Yeah, that was one as well. But there was some very special goals, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed all of them, to be honest.
Great. Oh, thanks, Les. That wraps things up. Thanks very much for your time. It's really appreciated, Les. Thank you very much. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
All right, Paul.
Yeah, amazing.
Hang on, you can have one of them.